You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Monica Velez. When California adopted the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act in 2014, it became the last Western state to regulate its groundwater. If local groundwater agencies fail to submit plans to the state by 2020, the law says state water agencies could take over management of groundwater, a resource that's critically important to Valley agriculture. Moderator Kathleen Schott got an update on how the work is progressing locally from Gary Serrato with the North Kings Groundwater Sustainability Agency, Christina Beckstead with the Madera County Farm Bureau, and David Orth with New Current Water and Land.
So, Dave, let's start with you. You worked on the development of the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, and I'm curious, what was the intent of that series of legislation? Why was it important for groundwater to be regulated in California?
Well, the act was basically became concepts in 2013 at the tail end of the last multi-year drought, where we were seeing an increasing rate of well failures. Groundwater elevations were dropping, significant development in areas where we knew groundwater was constrained. And as a result, both some of the lead California water agencies and the state legislature began to recognize that we needed to do something different with respect to the management of groundwater. And so the act came together through kind of a combination of policy considerations, and then that morphs into legislation to create a venue where local agencies involved in water management and land use were charged to come together and develop these plans that would move us away from just annual average overdraft and overuse of a finite resource into a sustainable management strategy, with any reasonable management and planning period.
Great. So I'd like to shift over to Gary, the executive officer of the North Kings Groundwater Sustainability Agency. Tell us a little bit about who are the players involved on the local level, and what is the work that you're currently doing?
Well, if you look around the table in terms of where the North Kings GSA moved to, we wanted to be all inclusive, and being all inclusive meant we need to get the land planners, those that had water supplies, and so we had the City of Fresno, the City of Clovis, the County of Fresno, and we have small water purveyors around the table as well, too, in irrigation districts. And so we have a well-rounded board that represents all those different areas. And in addition to that, the irrigation district, Fresno ID, has a board member who is actually the chair of that board as well, too.
And what exactly is this agency tasked with doing?
We're tasked with developing the plan. How are we going to become sustainable? The Central Valley was basically designated as a critically overdrafted basin, and so we have a shorter time period to develop a sustainable plan. And so we developed subgroups, we developed a technical committee, an outreach committee, to go out and go do the things of gathering the information, gathering the data to develop the plan to make sure that we're going to be sustainable. And so that was the charge of this particular group, and I can tell you so far we've done a pretty good job.
So I want to put a pin on this idea of sustainability, because that is not necessarily how sustainability is defined is going to vary from district to district. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So I want to get back to that in just a minute, but first I want to switch to Christina Beckstead, who's with the Madera County Farm Bureau. What are you hearing from farmers in Madera County as it pertains to this change in groundwater sustainability?
There's a lot of concern within the growers in Madera County, in that Madera County is, it's not unique in this respect, but
we'll say 50% of the basin is a wide area. So essentially that's an area that does not have any surface water deliveries. So because of that, there's a whole governance structure that's completely different than most of the other areas. But that being said, the amount of water that needs to be reduced just in that area, 50% of the county, if you will, agriculture is an economic driver in Madera County, so it's a huge hit to them. So they're trying to figure out how to work together with all of the other agencies. As a whole, the growers are trying to come up with creative solutions and finding creative solutions, creative ideas to find these creative solutions to figure out how to move water around or to get additional surface water supplies. And then you have those that are just trying to figure out how do we do this economically in phasing it out, you know, finding the right approach, because you can't, it's not an all or nothing deal from day one. It has to be something that has to be spread out over time, over the extent of implementation, if you will, in order for it to not kill the county off immediately.
So for people who aren't actively involved in agriculture, I think there's this perception that water just materializes. Like, it, the state figures out a way to bring the water in to keep the industry going. What is the potential impact for agriculture in Madera County under this act?
So I have some numbers, but they haven't been released, so I can't share that with you. But as a Central Valley, they're looking at potentially a million acres of fallowed land. There's a shortage of about 2.5 million acre feet of water that's needed within the Central Valley. So that's a huge number.
So, Dave Orth, explain the logic here. Why is groundwater, why is this preservation of groundwater worth that degree of economic impact for the valley?
Well, as we looked at groundwater use in 2013, 2014, it's clear that we're overdrafting. And so the question became, as a matter of policy and law, do we want to let the overdraft continue until we have winners and losers, people who can afford to go deeper, and all of the risk and damage that comes along with kind of an uncontrolled, unmanaged overuse of groundwater, because at some point we'll lose the groundwater. It's a finite resource. Or through the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, could we plan and develop a strategy that enabled the local agencies to map their own fate, to include the input from the stakeholders, the farmers and the communities, to define what do we want to do to get ourselves to a place where we either develop additional water supplies, and there are opportunities in the valley to capture floodwaters that are currently not beneficially used and put them back into the ground or use them in lieu of groundwater pumping. An unknown part of the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act is a call to the state, the legislature, and the administration to make more investments in infrastructure that lead to water supply reliability. It's not just about reducing groundwater use, but even with those things added to the portfolio, it's pretty clear that we have allowed the production or the development and pumping of groundwater to produce crops in some areas that cannot sustain and have no other alternative but to cut back. And from a planning perspective, it made more sense to the policymakers and the legislature to try to map out a roadmap, if you will, to sustainable use rather than just let it become what a lot of people call the tragedy of the commons, that we would just overuse and there would be winners and losers.
So, Gary Serrato, tell us a little bit. Let's get back to this idea of sustainability. How is North Kings defining sustainability? And how are you making that, coming to that conclusion?
Well, if you take a look at the Fresno Irrigation District, who is a huge partner in this GSA, the North Kings GSA, we have for years been doing conjunctive use projects. That means that we are capturing water supplies that when they're being flood released and we're able to capture them, put them back into the underground. We have constructed groundwater recharge facilities. We have constructed groundwater banking facilities. And then in addition to that, the cities of Fresno and Clovis have also constructed surface water treatment plants. That's where they take water from the river directly into the plant, treat it, and then take it back out to the household. We got to remember that in the Central Valley, most of the cities take their water from the ground. So they're being affected by this as well, too. So it's not just farmers, it's our cities, and it's our smaller communities as well, too, that are referred to as the disadvantaged communities. And so we've got to work with all of those to do all of these projects, and we've done that. We've partnered with Clovis. We partner with a small community of Biola to do that as well, too. There's grant funding out there that the state provides us that we go after to help those communities, because it's difficult for those smaller communities to come up with the funding to do the infrastructure that's needed for them to be sustainable.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Valley Edition. We are talking about the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, which is radically shaping the way the Central Valley will deal with groundwater resources. I'd like to shift the conversation back to Christina with the Madera County Farm Bureau. So what are you hearing from farmers in terms of their long-term sustainability? Obviously, we've already discussed there are a lot of efforts underway to find alternative resources and alternative ways to access water to support agriculture. But do you anticipate that there are going to be some farms that just fold or attempt to go out of state? What are you hearing?
So some of that's already happening. But ultimately, at least in Madera County, demand reduction is we know it's inevitable. What that looks like, that's going to depend on what projects come out. There's a lot of the GSAs already have projects that they've already implemented.
GSA, that's the Groundwater Sustainability
Agencies. Yes. And we get tied up in the acronyms because we use them every day. But yes, the GSAs, the Ground Sustainability Agencies, there's multiple in Madera County. A lot of them already have projects that they've already implemented in the last few years. They have the intent of implementing new ones, and I think it's going to be a matter of how all of the projects come together and as they work as one. You know, there's a lot of focus on their individual management areas, if you will, within SGMA, and how that infrastructure is going to impact. But at the end of the day, I think it all comes back to everyone working together and linking together those infrastructure projects to make the county as a whole a better area for groundwater management, if you will.
Great. And you mentioned SGMA, which is the acronym for the act itself that's driving all of this change. Dave, tell us a little bit about what kind of deadlines are we looking at here?
Under SGMA, the groundwater basins that have been defined by the state, and there are 517 of them, those that are critically overdrafted have to submit a groundwater sustainability plan to the California Department of Water Resources for review by January 31st, 2020. Under the Act, that plan has to include a 20-year roadmap to achieve sustainability by the end of that initial planning period, or January 31 of 2040. There are 21 critically overdrafted sub-basins in the state. Virtually all of them are in the San Joaquin Valley. The remaining basins, and there's about another 100 or so that have to do plans by, they have a two-year, they have a two-year extension, if you will, so their plans are due in January of 2022 with a 2042 sustainability deadline.
Great. So this is a fairly basic question, but can you explain what the geological impact of groundwater use has been in the San Joaquin Valley?
Complicated question, but decades ago, the State Department of Water Resources began mapping our groundwater resources. They fall into kind of two general categories. One is a deep aquifer that is confined with overlaying clay layers, and then above those clay layers there are shallow aquifers. In that geology, some of the soils are permeable enough that we can recharge them, and some of the soils are so thick that you can't get water back into the ground, basically because of confining clays or other geologies that prevent recharge. What has happened over time is that we've tapped the confined or the deep aquifer and pumped excessively to the point that we've dewatered the clays, compacted the clays, and created what is called subsidence. Subsidence causes roads to buckle and wave.
Damage to infrastructure.
And damage infrastructure. The poster child for subsidence, if you will, right now is a significant reduction in capacity of the Frank Kern Canal at the Pixley area that has reduced the canal capacity by about 50% and significantly limiting what water can move further south into the San Joaquin Valley. And unless we put a check on those pumping rates, the subsidence will continue to create that kind of damage across conveyance, transportation, gas lines. You know, systems will just stop operating.
Gary, I'd like to bring you into the conversation, and my question is, How is this going to impact domestic well owners? We've talked a lot about agriculture, but what about property owners who have wells? What about low-income groups who often are left out of these conversations when we're dealing with big ag?
Well, quite honestly, the Act requires us to reach out to those folks, okay? And we have done that. And any time you've come in and tried to explain the Act to folks, they don't take it very well at the very beginning, you know? And so I'm still trying to wash off some of the tar that I've got on me on one of those meetings. But the smaller acreage are identified as de minimis pumpers. De minimis pumpers are someone who uses less than 2 acre feet per year on their property. Their property could be an acre, a half acre, or even 5. And so the de minimis pumpers right now aren't affected as the rest of the groups are. Eventually we'll end up and talk with those folks again, and it may be that we might have to require meters. The Act itself gives us a toolbox of different things to utilize, and meters is one of those. So we have outreach to those folks. And the disadvantaged communities, they hold the seat on our board. And so what we've done is we've looked at all the smaller communities that are listed or identified as disadvantaged communities, DACs for short, and we've created a seat so they have a seat at the table. And they actually vote on whatever policies or whatever direction the board is going. So we try to be all inclusive. We do a tremendous amount of outreach. This is part of it as well, too. And so we're going to continue to do that. The Act requires us to do that.
Well, there's so much to talk about with this issue. I wish we had more time, but thank you so much for being here and giving our listeners at least a sense of what's happening across the valley. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.